Blog Talk Radio.
Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hello, you've tuned in to Smoke News Radio episode 122. Jason Brodsky, your host on the microphone, set out tonight from Leafly.com, the Cannabis 101 origins of weed. Cannabis has grown and evolved with humans for thousands of years. Many separate cultures cultivated the plant using its seeds for food, its fibers to make textiles, rope, and other materials, and its bud as a medicine and psychoactive substance in spiritual ceremonies. Cannabis proved to be a very useful plant for our ancestors, and it continues to be today. If there was one thing our ancestors knew, it was the healing properties of cannabis. While the wonders of cannabis medicine may feel like a new discovery in the West, cultures in the East have used and documented it for thousands of years. Check out the story of cannabis, where it originated, how it spread across the globe, which cultures used it. Learn how important the plant was to ancient humans and how it continues to be important to humans today. So, where did weed first grow wild? Cannabis literally originated in Central Asia, in parts of China, Mongolia, Russia, Kazakhstan, Pakistan, and India. Humans began practicing agriculture about 10,000 years ago, and cannabis is believed to have been cultivated by humans 5,000 to 6,000 years ago. In prehistoric times, as weather warmed and humans migrated, they brought cannabis with them, spreading the plant far and wide. From Central Asia, cannabis is believed to have spread to the Middle East and the east coast of Africa, as well as the Southeast Asia. It would eventually make its way to Europe and the Americas hundreds of years later. Different types of cannabis started to develop in specific regions. These are called Londrices today. These strains, such as Hindu Kush from the Kush Mountains in Pakistan and Afghanistan, are native to a specific region and are influenced by China. The world's oldest text on medicine, Pencil's Ching, first became prominent in the late Han Dynasty in the 2nd century, but was compiled from ancient texts. It refers to Emperor Shengyun, the father of Chinese medicine, lived around at least 2000 BCE, who recognized the benefits of cannabis for over 100 ailments. The Pencil Ching represents the earliest record of cannabis as a medicinal drug, emphasizing the potential and how safe it was to use. Note that hemp and cannabis are interchangeable in ancient texts. Today, we define hemp as cannabis plants with less than 0.3% Delta-9 THC, but our ancestors did not make this distinction. Hemp fiber was used to create materials, its seeds for food, and its buds for medicinal or spiritual practices. A concoction of female cannabis flowers is referred to as Ma Fen in the Pen Xiao Qing. Chinese medicine is permissed on yin and yang, and cannabis was viewed as a medicine that restored yin, useful for conditions such as gout, rheumatic pain, constipation, malaria, and gynecological disorders. Linguistic analysis even tell us that medicinal cannabis influenced certain Chinese compound words, including the words for narcotic and paralysis, which are all formed from the word ma, meaning hemp, which can describe the effects of cannabis. In 2019, scientists discovered a wooden brazier dating back to 1500 BCE. 10 of these devices were found at a cemetery, suggesting they were part of a burial ceremony. And the wood with deep wells carved into them, these braziers, the charred residue inside contained traces of cannabinoids, cannabis, and a heated rock would be placed inside the braziers and the smoke inhaled. Additionally, another use of cannabis pops up in China centuries after the time of the wooden braziers in documents from the Han Dynasty from 200 BCE to 220 CE. They describe the pain-relieving properties of cannabis based on the work of a renowned surgeon, Xiao Qiao, who performed surgeries without inflicting pain on his patients due to his application of Mayo, an oil infused with cannabis resin, Datura, and wine. And so let's go to cannabis in India, sacred medicine in Ayurveda. Cannabis features prominently in the Atharva Veda, a collection of holy writings in Sanskrit dating back to at least 800 BCE, not earlier. The text mentions cannabis as one of the five sacred plants. Medicinal uses merged with religious and ritual practices. It was recognized as a source of happiness and a bringer of joy and freedom. the plant was also described in the Sushruta Samhita, a foundational text of Ayurvedic medicine from about 800 BCE, which explains the plant's many healing properties. Cannabis was used for a staggering range of treatments as an appetite stimulant, pain reliever, anesthetic, anti-convulsant, and anti-parasitic, others. A drink named Bhang, made of warm milk, nuts, and spices, was a common remedy for ailments and also thought to be a favorite food of the god Shiva. Bhang was considered highly effective at relieving anxiety and is still consumed in sacred contexts, such as during the Holi festival. Other medicinal and sacred preparations of cannabis include ganja, or smoking the female flowers, and charas, rolled balls of hash that are smoked. These forms of cannabis are still consumed in the present-day India, albeit under the radar. And Shemshushmet in ancient Egypt, historians tell us that cannabis found its way from Central Asia with medical records written on papyrus in 1550 BCE, highlighting the plant's anti-inflammatory properties and its use as an aid in childbirth. Egyptians administered cannabis creatively by the mouth and skin, but also by the rectum, the vagina, and in the eyes. Many scholars think a word found in many Egyptian hieroglyphics, Shemet, refers to a plant used both for rope and medicine, likely hemp. Remains of the plant have also been found in the tombs of pharaohs, including Akhenaten or Amenhotep IV, who lived 1335 BCE, and Ramses II, who lived from 1303 to 1212 BCE. Asia, Central Asia, the Scythians. The Scythians were an ancient nomadic people who lived around 600 BCE to 400 CE in a large expanse of land in Central Asia between the Black Sea and Siberia. Greek historian Herodotus observed a Scythian vapor bath in which people would sit inside a tent and place cannabis and heated rocks in wooden braziers, perhaps the world's first recorded hot box. The Siberian Ice Maiden dates back to 500 BCE and is believed to have treated her breast cancer with cannabis. Two gold bongs dating to around 600 BCE were also found in Central Asia and thought to belong to the Scythians. A mummified body of a woman was also found in the Altai Mountains of southern Siberia, dating back to around 500 BCE, named the Siberian Ice Maiden. She was buried with a pouch of cannabis. An MRI scan in the present revealed she had breast cancer. Scientists theorize she might have used cannabis for her condition. And in Greece and Rome, Greeks and Romans commonly used cannabis for rope and sails. The earliest surviving account of medicinal cannabis among the Greeks is an entry in the De Materia Medica, written by the physician Dioscorides around the 1st century CE. Dioscorides sings the plant's praises as a treatment for earache and offers specific instructions on how cannabis medicine should be prepared as a juice from young green cannabis seeds. Dioscorides' recognition of cannabis as a medicine was followed closely by Pliny the Elder's entry in Naturalis Historia in 77 CE. Use of cannabis for aching joints, gout, and burns. Galen, physician to Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius, who lived in the 2nd century, warned of eating too many cakes containing hemp seeds, which were known to be popular at Roman banquets for their ability to create relaxation, hilarity, and euphoria. He said they also induced thirst, made one sluggish, and made it difficult to digest. And hashish in the Arabic and Persian worlds, several hundred years later, in an area that was once part of the Roman Empire, Arabic scholar Al-Muyassi, living around 1000 CE, and Al-Bandri, living in the 15th century CE, called attention to cannabis as an effective treatment for epilepsy. Additionally, Avicenna, a highly regarded Persian scholar who published his celebrated Canon of Medicine in 1025 CE, acknowledged cannabis as a useful treatment for pain relief, gout, edema, infectious wounds, and eye inflammation. Persian scholars were some of the first to note that a little bit of THC can create positive effects, but a lot can create different possible negative effects. Persian scholars had a sophisticated understanding of marijuana, and we're aware of its biphasic effects at different doses. How a little bit of THC can create positive effects, but a lot can create different, possibly negative effects, as they just said. Also, the first cannabis edible is thought to have originated in Morocco. Majoun, a sweet treat filled with hashish, a traditional version includes a paste of figs, dates, and hash covered with nuts and other flavorings such as honey, rose water, sea salt, turmeric, cardamom, ginger, cinnamon, and lavender. And we take cannabis to Africa. The plant is widely believed to have been introduced to East Africa from India in the Middle East by Arabic traders, at least since the 1400s. Cannabis was known to be part of the culture of enslaved Africans in Brazil, presumably brought over from Africa, especially the area of Angola today in West Africa. And a side note, they made the bongs. They make a mud pit with water or like this covering. Oh, it's just it's really cool. They don't have the whole world, but they're touching everything. This is awesome. Okay, continuing on. And in Europe, weed. Cannabis may have arrived in Europe via the Scythians of Central Asia, with the plant possibly making its way from east to west via the Bronze Road, which would later become known as the Silk Road. Hemp has also been found in Germanic burials dating back to 500 BCE, centuries CE after cannabis made its way to the Middle East from its origins in Central Asia. Arabic traders are thought to have spread the plant throughout North Africa and into Spain, which were parts of various Arab and Berber states. The Anglo-Saxon Old English Herbarium was one of the first texts to document cannabis usage in Europe. Written in the 11th century CE, the Herbarium describes cannabis as an aesthetic and pain reliever, and was also used to help with gout, urinary infections, childbirth issues, and weight loss. Cannabis is also mentioned in the 12th century medical texts of German Hildegard von Bingen, seer, scholar, physician, and abbess, whatever that is. More records of cannabis occur in 1484 in a papal bull condemning the plant issued by Pope Innocent the VIII. However, several maritime republics are thought to have ignored it, as they relied on the plant's fiber for making rope and sails. During the Italian Renaissance, it was used for paper and canvas. Hemp medicinal usage was also recorded in medical texts in England as early as the 1500s during the reign of the Tudors. Smoking cannabis, for its psychoactive effects, in particular hashish, became popular in Europe after Napoleon's 1798 campaign were encouraged to embrace hashish. Bring the plant back home. Cannabis use spread throughout Europe in the modern age, where it was used to treat a variety of ailments. And in the Americas, cannabis hopped across the Atlantic Ocean to the Americas a few different ways. It was first thought to have crossed over via the Spanish after their invasion of the in 14 Smoke News Radio. Hemp is thought to have first shown up in North America in the early 1500s when Hernan Cortes and his Spanish soldiers invaded Mexico. Soldier Pedro Cuadrado and a friend started a successful business growing hemp there. However, in 1550, a Spanish governor restricted production because the locals were getting high with the plant rather than using it for rope and textiles. Further north in the 13 colonies, King James I of England enacted a royal decree in 1611 that instructed the colonists of Jamestown, Virginia to grow hemp. Hemp was a valuable crop for many colonists as it could be used to make rope, sails, clothes, textiles, and other materials. As mentioned previously, cannabis is also thought to have come to South America, in particular Brazil, via enslaved Africans around the 16th century. After the abolition of slavery in British colonies in 1834, it is thought that Indian indentured servants brought cannabis to the Caribbean. Ganja, a term originating in India, became especially popular in Jamaica, a British colony at the time, where it is still commonly consumed today. Cannabis in the West in modern times. As interest in cannabis increased in the 19th century, the plant was brought to the attention of Western medicine in 1839 when Irish doctor William O'Shaughnessy published on the preparations of the Indian hemp, or ganja. He had worked in India and experimented with the plant and its uses there, noting its success as a treatment for rheumatism, convulsions, and spasms associated with tinnitus and rabies, tetanus, and rabies. In France, psychiatrist Jacques-Joseph Moreau experimented with hash, theorizing that it could help treat mental illness. Moreau wrote a book called Hashish and Mental Illness, the work of O'Shaughnessy and Murrow had a significant medicine. In the latter half of the 19th century, more than 100 studies were conducted on the plant, and pharmaceutical companies in the United States and Europe began creating and marketing cannabis tinctures. Medicines containing cannabis became widely available to the general public, and with many brands claiming to cure a variety of ailments. And in closing, in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, views of cannabis began to shift and many countries began outlawing the plant, most notably the United States. All right, a little history before the 19th century. Love it. Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Okay. This one from Roanoke.com Lifestyles Herbology, Know Your Cannabis Seeds by Nick Clifton. And the previous one was by Sasha Beck. Growing cannabis, an activity which may have landed you in the slammer just a year ago, is now fully legal for home cultivation in Virginia. If you're 21 or older, you can grow up to 4 plants. For further details on the new law, visit thecannabis.virginia.gov. These law changes were enacted July 1st, have since fallen in love with cultivating cannabis, and cannot believe that we had to stand by with our freedoms to grow withheld for this long. No botanist or master gardener, but have taken some college courses in horticulture and studied cannabis recreationally for 20 years, quotes the author. In the author's opinion, the new law still has flaws, however. Overjoyed to be able to share the same freedom to grow that folks in states like Colorado, Oregon, and Alaska have been enjoying for years. Find yourself thinking, would you like to grow? Have you already tried and failed? Maybe you just need a few tips to get going. Goal is to use this and future columns to explain cannabis knowledge on growing the plant. So you're looking to obtain your first seeds. There are many terms you will see that differentiate marijuana seeds: photo period or auto flowering, indica, sativa or hybrid, feminized or regular. This could sound like another language if you are new to the scene. Let's demystify those terms. First, let's distinguish autos from photos. So here's a little lesson in marijuana botany. Cannabis sativa or cannabis indica is the genus and species of marijuana as you probably have always thought of it. There is a third species you don't hear of as often, Cannabis ruderalis. Ruderalis is a variety of cannabis that was native to Eastern Europe and Russia, where growing conditions are not particularly ideal. This low THC variety evolved to flower a couple weeks or so after germination, rather than flowering based on shortening lengths of day like its sativa indica cousins do. Some breeders thought it would be cool to breed those fast-flowering genes into other varieties known for their more intoxicating effects. The result was known as autoflowers, autoflowering cannabis, or autos, as you may know them, can be useful for home growers as they allow multiple smaller harvests per year rather than a single large harvest in the late fall. So autos are not day length sensitive. They can grow and flower in really short or really long daylight periods, although you'll see better yields with more light. Photos are photoperiod or day-length sensitive plants. For outdoor growers, your plants will start to flower around August 15th at Virginia's latitude. For indoor growers, your plants will begin flowering whenever you shorten your light cycle. Most folks do 12 hours light and 12 hours of darkness. Just know that when you read the description of most seeds, whether autos or photos, you will usually see a description such as 50-50 sativa indica or 70-30 sativa indica. That's a good indicator of how long the plant should flower, how big to expect the plant, and what type of buzz to expect. Indica is known for being a smaller, denser plant that flowers quickly and offers a relaxing buzz. Sativa is known for lanky plants that can take longer to flower and give a creative, uplifting buzz. You will never see a listed ratio of ruderalis in an autoflower, even though it is part of the genetic makeup of the seed. This explanation of what makes a plant indica or sativa dominant is complicated, so take breeder claims with a grain of salt. Think of it this way. I could breed a purebred beagle and a purebred Labrador. The litter would be dogs, which are 50% of each parent genetically. However, one puppy may have floppy ears and a strong nose, like a beagle, while another may look like a lab and have a never-ending desire to fetch. It is difficult to look at each puppy and label what percentage of what parent it mimics. These days, no cannabis breeder is breeding pure indica or sativa. 99% of seeds you will find today are polyhybrids. This means labeling a plant 60-40 sativa indica is a difficult do. However, if a reputable breeder says 90-10% sativa indica hybrid, know that you probably do not want to grow the variety as a sleep aid. If you are trying to decide for the first time and don't know which you prefer, pick a 50-50 or maybe two varieties that are opposite so you can figure out which strain you like. Since I had never had any option other than the black market I never knew which type of cannabis I preferred. Now that I have grown, I know sativa dominant breeds are my choice herb. Here's hoping you have a better understanding of the terminology you need to pick your seeds. Now, there's one last critical detail to identify: feminized or regular. In case you are brand new to cannabis and did not know, we growers are after flower, specifically unpollinated female flower. Cannabis is a deciduous plant, meaning there are male plants and female plants. Males are needed to make more seeds, but unless you are a breeder, you do not want seeds in your flower. They diminish the quality of the flower and that you have grown for consumption. If you are new to learning about this plant, strongly encourage you to begin with feminized seeds, especially if you are growing outdoors. Regular seeds may be cheaper or easier to get. Fail to determine the sex of your plants in time, you risk seeding your crop or your neighbors. If you plan to try to breed cannabis, please keep your male plants indoors. Good luck picking your first seeds. All right. Don't breed male plants if you're practicing marijuana. You cannot contain male plants. You cannot. You got to clean your clothes. Okay, next on Smoke News Radio, with your host, Jason Brodsky, from edition.cnn.com, we have what's happened to Amsterdam's cannabis coffee shops during COVID, written by Isabel Gerritsen. In Amsterdam, once crowded by too many tourists, the canals of Amsterdam continue to stand empty, even as the Netherlands eased travel restrictions. The infamous red light district is almost mostly deserted. The Dutch capital remains a ghost town. But what about the other 50%? All right, thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. About Amsterdam's coffee shops, over half of the capital's 167 coffee shops are in the center and heavily reliant on tourism, says Joaquin Helms of the Coffee Shop Owners Association, BCD. The coffee shops in the center were really in survival mode, she quotes. During the past 2 years, says government financial aid allowed them to stay afloat, but this only covered their rent and furlough for staff, and they struggled to make any revenue. When coronavirus overwhelmed Europe in March 2020, the Dutch government announced a strict lockdown and ordered all hospitality to close, including coffee shops. This decision was reversed almost immediately after people started buying cannabis illegally. Helms quotes, "The government worried that if they kept the coffee shops closed, people would turn to the streets and illegal dealers. The shops were allowed to stay open, and even during the strictest lockdowns, for takeaway service. The pandemic has highlighted that it's mainly tourists consume cannabis in coffee shops. Locals tend to collect it and smoke the drug elsewhere, while the cafes have remained largely empty over the past 2 years, demand for cannabis has surged and takeaway sales have increased significantly. Helms quotes, "In residential areas, business has been especially good, especially at the beginning of the pandemic, when people were stockpiling in case coffee shops closed during a lockdown." In a survey by Trimbos, a Dutch mental health and addiction research institute, 41% of 1,500 respondents said they were using cannabis more since the start of the coronavirus pandemic. Nearly half, 49%, said they were smoking as much as before. Three quarters used cannabis almost daily after the government introduced lockdown measures. The main reason for using cannabis more were boredom, stress, and loneliness. Some 75% were smoking every day. Marv Larkin, working for the Hunter's Coffee Shop in the center, quotes, "The takeaway business has been really good. People tend to buy bigger amounts than when they consume it in the cafe." Even though the lockdown has ended, strict rules remain in place for the entire Dutch hospitality sector. All customers must show an experimental vaccination pass in the form of a QR code on their phones to buy cannabis in a coffee shop, maintain a 1.5 meter distance while inside, and wear masks while ordering. Coffee shops must stop serving at 10 p.m., but are allowed to stay open until midnight for takeout. These rules make it difficult for coffee shops to accommodate a large number of customers and encourage people to stay inside instead of buying takeout. Helms said the lockdown restrictions have changed the culture of Amsterdam's coffee shops. The foundation of the coffee shop policy is that there are places where you can consume cannabis in a responsible and safe way, and where you can meet people from all around the world. The whole point of the coffee shops is the relaxed vibe and the culture of it. That's gone now. Now, there's two people at a table, and there's no spontaneity anymore. This cafe and surrounding area used to be packed all the time. Now it's just dead, and the rest of Europe and the rest of the world needs to know, Amsterdam, we are open again. I think it'll be back to normal in mid-March. As the coffee shops slowly begin their recovery, they face another hurdle, a possible ban on foreign tourists. Oh boy, the mayor proposed a policy that could see foreign tourists banned from the city's coffee shops. Life is difficult, people. I hope you can pull things together. We got a little music from Jack Johnson. Hope you guys have a beautiful night. Thank you for listening. Here's Jack's news, and hope you enjoyed Smoke News. Have a beautiful night. I love you.
billion people died on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the devil's sight. Well, Mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see, so baby, close your eyes to the lullabies on the news tonight. Who's the one to decide that it would be alright to put the music behind the news tonight? Well, Mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear, so baby, close your ears on the news tonight, on the news tonight. The unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. And Mama said, why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who die? At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eye. But Mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see, so baby, close your eyes to the lullaby on the